Our scripture this morning comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. In the Pew Bible, it's page 1024. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. May God bless the reading and receiving of His Word.
Thanks, Chris. Judy, thank you for the offertory. And Connie and Francis, thank you so much for that special music this morning. I better step around to this side or I'll step on that computer. If we go to Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 4b, and we read through there, we find an account of creation where God creates the man and then puts him in the garden to till it and to keep it. In other words, the first persons upon the face of the earth were called and expected by God to work. It's a good thing he wasn't Maynard G. Krebs, or he would have said, "Work!" and tried to run the other way. For you who don't know who Maynard G. Krebs is, get someone to explain it to you later. Bob Denver, pre-Gilligan's Island. But right from the very beginning, we have been called to work. In trying to think about that of which to speak for this Labor Day Sunday, work kept coming up, even though many of us have tomorrow off, right? And offices are closed in various places. It's that last official summer fling before really getting back into the swing of everything. But how early are we called to work? Well, oftentimes children are asked at a very young age, what are you going to be when you grow up? And perhaps some of us older children are still wondering what we're going to be when we grow up. Howard Roberts says a good answer would be, not that anything's wrong with these, not necessarily a nurse, a fireman, a doctor, a policeman, but an adult. College students are asked, what's your major? In other words, what do you want to do for your work? People who work are often asked, what is it that you do? When you meet someone, after the first niceties, how often do you say, well, what do you do? Or, where do you work? One writer said he'd really be surprised if the answer given would be, well, I'm using my gifts and abilities to build a sense of community with the people I encounter in my daily routine. But is that not really what we're called to do? We're called in our work to do that, to use those gifts and abilities that we have been given, to build a sense of community with all the people whom we encounter. So what does occupy your time? What does occupy your energy and your thoughts? Think for a moment. In other words, what is your calling? The word vocation comes from vocare, which means to call. To call. What is your reason for being? Paul, here in this passage, believes that it is a call to discipleship. That is, a call to discipleship, to follow God in Jesus, is the highest calling. The highest calling whatsoever. I've often said that the highest calling is to be a Christian, not to be a vocational minister. The highest calling is to be a Christian, not to be a deacon or an elder. The highest calling is to be a Christian disciple. It's the highest goal toward which we can strive. In fact, Jesus indicated that the highest goal of life is to love God with all the heart, with all the mind, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love others as we love ourselves. We may have different professions about which we go. We may have different places that we work or different specific jobs that we do. But we all have the same call to work. To work as disciples, loving God and loving others. Though we often respond to it in different ways. Now, Paul admits here, even in his particular vocation, he starts out, "Not that I have already obtained this or have reached the goal." He recognized that no matter what he did, he and his humanity still had not fulfilled that goal. What we sometimes say, "Oh, they're called to full-time Christian service." Well, we're all called to full-time service as Christians. And Paul said, "I can't sit back and wait and rest because I have not reached that goal yet." And in 13 and 14, he speaks to us concerning both vocation and the commitment to purpose. "This one thing I do," he says, "forgetting what lies behind and straining forward, I press on toward the goal of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus." So the question then for us, I think, is what is the one thing that I do that fills my purpose and reason for being? What is that one thing that I do as a Christian disciple that fills that purpose? All the time people say, in Sunday school classes, in Bible study groups, or perhaps even out just in general, although you should be careful at parties about talking about religion and politics. But sometimes I do get in those conversations, and oftentimes in talking about the will of God, the purpose of God, the desire of God for one's life, I've had people say, and perhaps you've even said it sometimes, "Oh, but I have a hard time finding or knowing the will of God." People write books about knowing the will of God. Thin books and thick books about knowing the will of God, trying to help you. They do all kinds of surveys, all kinds of questionnaires that you can take to find out about the will of God for you. And so they say, "I have a hard time knowing the will of God for me." Really? Paul and Jesus keep telling us that the will of God for each and every one of us is to love God and love others as much as we love ourselves. That's the will of God for us, regardless of where we are, regardless of our particular profession, our particular daily work. The will of God for us is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. I know the text says neighbor, but sometimes we then say, "Oh, but that's my neighbor, not this person over here." So how we do that in our daily work is where the challenge occurs. But I would also submit to you that how we do that in our daily work is where the endless possibilities occur as well. Endless possibilities for living out that call in our daily work. Howard Roberts states, and I quote, "We need to be careful, though, in thinking that if we uncover the plan God has mapped for us, then all will go smoothly." This actually contradicts the reality of the lives of many, including Jesus, who followed God closely and yet had difficulties, mistreatment, and disappointment. God gives us the freedom to choose both to follow Him and to do His will for us in our work and in our play. End of quote. As I said earlier, I've often said that the highest calling is to be Christian. And I truly believe that to be true. But unfortunately, many people interpret the upward call here that Paul mentions, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, to refer to those called called to the ministry. And often, quite frankly, folks like me are the ones who continue to perpetuate that idea. However, Paul really isn't referring to that. Paul is referring to the call to be a disciple, to be disciplined in following. And the ways we live out that discipleship are just as important as a Christian in any profession. Just as important regardless of that profession. The ways we live it out in our individual lives, regardless of where we are, even as children in school, going to their work every day. You know, a lot of times, it dawned on me a couple of years ago when I was thinking about school and about children going to school, and was already thinking, Sydney just turned 4, but a couple of years ago I was already thinking, okay, where is she going to go to school? Which school? Are they in this school district or that school district? What kind of teachers is she going to have? This kind of thing. And it dawned on me, it really is true that schoolwork is work. Right? It's preparation. So even children, it's important the way they live their lives at their work too. And sometimes the only way they really know about that life of love of God and others is because parents and grandparents and other family and friends live out before them the call of discipleship in every area of work. Wish I did it all the time, but I don't. But that's our call too, to help prepare others. And it's just as important a job as anyone else's job in this world. The Puritan preacher Cotton Mather said that there are two callings for the Christian. First, the call to be a disciple. And secondly, a particular call of employment. And the Puritans worked very hard to make sure that everything you did in regards to church and your call as a disciple had some effect on what you did in your daily work. In other words, we are to connect our Sunday worship with what happens Monday through Saturday at work, at leisure, and at play. Our labor, our work, is meaningful and valuable when we approach it as a vocation, an act of service to God for others. It is a pursuit, diokein, Paul uses here, to pursue toward perfection of discipleship in us. Interestingly enough, earlier in the same chapter, when Paul talks about persecuting Christians, he uses the same word. He pursued them. And we know how much Paul loved that part of his early work. Pursuing Christians. Having them arrested. Having them beaten. Even some were killed. He uses the same word here and says, just as zealous as I was for that in pursuing them, so I am now pursuing that high calling that God has given in Christ Jesus. It is that kind of commitment and pursuit to which God calls us and expects each of us. Vocation as work means calling, yes. But it is also the response we make when we give our total self to partnership with God and with fellow Christians. That's also part of vocation. Not just answering the call to be a Christian and to work, but then vocation is our commitment to doing that work, to carrying it forth. It's a calling to work and love the world. The Bible tells us that we should work. Everything we should do as unto the Lord. That's not just coming and worshiping on Sundays or Wednesdays or when there's revival, but that means everything that we should do should be done that way. We are to be full-time Christians regardless of our other work. I know a lot of Christians who work a lot at jobs, but also I know a number of Christians who work very hard and a lot at doing things, at living their Christianity and helping others. I'm not sure, including when I look in the mirror, that I truly know a full-time, full-blown, fully committed to full-time Christian. Other things take time. Other things take our minds away. Sometimes we don't so much act like a full-time Christian all the time. And I would ask you, do you know a truly full-time Christian who spends all of their time and everything they do and every effort loving God with all the heart, mind, soul, and strength, and others as themselves? I know people who come really close. Closer than I do. That's why Paul says, I strive. We strive. We pursue that which is out there as a goal. The goal for so many is, well, I want to get into heaven. Right? But the goal is that upward call of God in Christ Jesus to live each moment committed to pursuing our call, our vocation as Christians, as Christian workers, as Christian laborers, as Christians in leisure. Things that are far too often on the back burner. Recently, and I won't tell you why, well, I won't tell you who, but I've had some questions asked about the Moravian Church. Y'all may not know a whole lot about the Moravians other than Winston-Salem and the beeswax candles, and they make the best thin ginger cookies. When I was teaching and also the chaplain at Anderson College, we had something called Christmas First Night. And it was the first Thursday in December, a kickoff for the Christmas season. We didn't serve the sticky buns that oftentimes at Moravian love feasts are served, because that'd just be too messy. We had 1,000 people in the auditorium that we had to serve spiced, S-P-I-C-E-D, cider, not spiked. And then the thin Moravian ginger cookies that came in these big red tins. And we had folks that would dress up as the deaners, college students, and that's what they call the servants in the church, the deaners. They would be serving that at a particular point during the Moravian Love Feast that we had. You've never had those ginger cookies. You need to get some sometime. I got to open the tins. We couldn't serve any broken cookies. They had to be whole when we put them in the basket. So we'd do that. And all the broken ones got to come to my office. And a lot of those made it into my stomach. But you know, ginger's good for you. Although I prefer Mary Ann. Ginger cookies are good for you. But the Moravian church started over 500 years ago as a particular church. Very simple in a lot of the things that they do. But I want to read from a book, a quote from a book, given to those considering becoming Moravians about being and becoming on vocation. And I quote, "Your impression may be that God's work advances primarily through the church and its strategy for mission and evangelism. But God's work is never pinned down in just one corner. The gospel advances not only through the formal efforts of the church, but also through the actions of its scattered members, working and witnessing through their separate vocations. Since most of your time is spent in the pursuit of a major occupation, this work represents one of the most important areas of witness that you have. Offer your work to God's kingdom. Treat it with respect and consecrate it to the fulfillment of God's kingdom." End of quote. We are called continually by God. And that is our genuine vocation. To be good disciples. To treat our jobs, wherever we are, as a specific calling. A spiritual work. For whatever time we are there. And for whatever time we have on the earth. That our calling to be Christian disciples is found not only in our places of work for which we get paid, but also as we work our salvation, as we work that grace of God with friends, with family, at school, at home, everywhere we are. And the world at large can become more of what God desires it to be when we answer the call to work. May we pray. Our gracious God, help us to not only answer that call to be Christian disciples once in our lives, to be baptized, to join a church, to come on occasion to times of worship, but help us to understand that we are called as Christian disciples to work as Christian disciples, sharing love for you and love for others with our minds, our hearts, our souls, our strength. Regardless of what our specific profession may be, so that others may know and understand your grace and your love for the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 666. A hymn that reminds us that we've been given a charge by God, a call by God to work for the redemption of the world, not just ourselves, and to be committed as we're called to work. Our altar is open for any decision that you might make. Hymn number 666, "A Charge to Keep I Have."